We are engaged in the study of the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments. And together, today is a good day to explain the separation of the two sets of commandments. You have read books in psychology about living and success in life, and you have read thousands of books and how to live and so on, but the Ten Commandments are the summary of our life on this earth. The first four commandments deal our relationship with God. And briefly, I will recall to your mind what we studied. Number one is be careful who is number one in your life. God placed a question on the first commandment. Am I number one in your life? What is the number one thing in your life? Is your Porsche? Your bike, your BMW, what is it? All right, what is it? And it is amazing how we are so sensitive to get distracted sometimes, unconsciously, of what is number one in our life. The number two was, remember my visit in England to the Windsor Castle, they said, no pictures allowed. And I remember I asked the people, do you put the sign so you can sell pictures in the store there, or you're afraid of a secret thing, so on? Well, it takes not too long to walk about two rooms, and each of the crowns of those kings, one of them close to $1 billion crowns over there. Now, I don't blame them, no pictures allowed. And God did not allow any imitation of himself. God is number one. Then the third commandment was, be careful with God's name. We use God's name sometimes unconsciously wrong. And God said, be careful with my name. And last Sunday we saw, be careful with God's day. This is his day and he's very jealous about it. Now, these are the four things that God wants from you and me to relate to him. It's not too big, don't it? Four things that God wants you to respect with him. That's it. Easy to learn. Is that right? Very easy. Now, the next one, our Commandments 5 to Commandments 10, is our relationship with one another. And that's when you can go to a bookstore and in psychology and so on, and in psychiatry, and man trying to figure out what is the best way to relate to one another. And God gave us five steps how to relate to one another. The first one is the commandment that we found in verse 12. Look at verse 12. It said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The first commandment relates to family, don't we? And so God's going to give us six remarkable relationships that we should enforce on each other. And the first one is home. Why? Genesis 2:20, let a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and became one flesh. And then Abel was born, and Cain, and the whole family of the world. And what Satan does looks like a simple commandment, looks like a commandment that has not too much power, but look the world today. They are in violation of this commandment. A man can be married to another man, and a woman can be married to another woman. In violation of the first relationship commandment to God. It's just amazing. So let's take a look now more closely so that you and I know how to relate in these relationships with parents. They are instructions in that verse for parents. They are instructions for our children. And there is further instruction for both of us. It's very simple. So I'm going to say that the commandment enforces three things. There is a respect that is demanded. I mean, God demands respect concerning something. Then there is a respect that is deserved, that must be, and that relates to parents. And then there is a reward promise in this commandment. very, very loaded. Now, I tell you something. My good partner, Brother Greg, he comes here in the morning, 6:30 on Sunday, and set up the building and put the temperature. I did it for him today, but I don't know the temperature, but it's hot here in the pulpit, so. But everything is okay. I put this thermostat, I guess, to a 72. I should put it at 60 or something. All right. There is a respect that is demanded. Let's look at carefully. All right. Now, you know, I love the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. So I'm going to look in the Old Testament, what is demanded. And I'm going to look in the New Testament. In the Old Testament is your command. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Honor. You know, one of the things you can be proud of is when you are 20 years old and you are in the army or navy or whatever, and you are the honor guard. Brother Dulillo was the honor guard in the White House. I don't know if you saw pictures on it. All right? Honor. Honor your father and your mother. God, what do you mean by that? All right, let's go to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. And it's the third book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. In chapter 19 and in verse 3, you get a little expanded explanation about that. Honor your father and your mother. How you do that? How do I honor my father and mother? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. Every one of you shall revere, all right, his mother and his father. Now, I don't know why the King James looked to that word revere, but the word there, the original word is the word fear, and should be read everyone of you shall fear his mother and his father. Pastor, do you mean that we should be afraid of our mother and father? No, that's not what the Bible, in the way the Bible used the word fear. If you move your Bible to Proverbs in chapter 8 and in verse 13, the Bible define the word fear, all right? And look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is, now the Bible defined that, all right? The fear of the Lord is, and here is what it is, a hatred of evil, pride and arrogancy, and the way of evil and perverse speech. So now we got the whole compound together, and we put it together, and the Bible is saying to us, you need to respect your parents by don't do anything evil, by don't be arrogant before you're there, but not disobeying them and having your evil way, and by not having perverted way of speech against your parents. That's what the word fear means. That involves young people. That involves a whole package in how we honor our parents. It's not that you go to school and get a doctor degree in medicine that you honor the parents. It's the way you communicate and behave and relate to your parents, which today is crazy. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. So, wow, it is a demand. You don't need any psychology or psychiatry book to understand it. You need to submit the entire mind and mouth and everything to your parents. All right? Now, that's what the Old Testament said. Now, I wonder if the New Testament say the same thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and see how the New Testament see that commandment. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse 2 in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, and in verse 2. What the Bible said, honor again your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. Now, I wonder how the New Testament tells us how to do that. So you are in Ephesians, you move a little bit to the right to Colossians, all right? And if you go to Colossians chapter 3:20, it's a little more explanatory how you honor your father and mother. And Colossians 3:20 said, children, obey your parents when you like it. No, what they say? Children, obey your parents in all things. When I was young, I hated that text. Well, I tell you what, I'm a human being. You mean when I want to play soccer, my mother said, no, you have no cleaned the patio, you have no shined the floors, you have no done this and the other, you have no washed your dishes. You know, I have a strict things I had to do at home, me and my brother. So children, obey your parents, said the Colossians, all right? In all things, not just the thing you like it. Your mother can say, do this and do the other. Well, one thing I like it, but I don't like the other, so I want to do A rather than B. You obey your parents all things. Wow, that's getting heavy. For this is well-pleasing, look at whom? To the Lord. Now, we're not talking about your father will be good if you are good to your mother, or your mother will be happy if you're good to your father. We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about the Lord. This is not society. This is the one who is the creator. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now I need an example. And the example is Jesus. Let's move to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. The example of this is the Lord Jesus. And let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And let's start reading from verse 46. This Jesus, he was 12 years old. He was a rascal like anybody else. And you know what he did? He just left his parents. Can you imagine you go to shopping with your children and you say, where is John? Where is John? And John is not there. Now look at verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him. For 3 days, they were looking for this rascal. He left them. Jesus left them. For 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions of the Bible. Wow, Jesus took off. The parents didn't know. They were shopping for enchiladas and tamales and so on, and they were so busy that they don't know, and the guy took off. Verse 47, and all who hear him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 48. So when they saw him, when the parents saw him, were astonished at his understanding. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son. Mary talked like a mother now. Look at this. Son, why have you done this to us? In other words, you disobey us. What's wrong with you? Look, she said, your father and I have sought you with anxiety. I don't blame them. You do the same thing. You will call the 9/11, you will call this and call the other and so on. And one time here, a child was away and the police called me, said, you saw a child in your yard or in some place. We are looking for a child that was missing in downtown. And sometimes children walk alone. And no, I did not. This and the voice of the one who was talking was really with anxiety. All right. Now, your father and I have sought you. Look at verse 49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now he's talking to mama, and mama have Jesus, remember, and she had no contact with men. So Jesus assumed that mama knows that this boy is something special, all right? Be careful, all right? He said, mama, come on. I'm in my father's business. It's no carpentry. It's something else. Mama, by this time, you should know. I like that. It's fantastic. Verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. All right? Then, verse 51, who went down with him and came to Nazareth and was, look at here, subject. Now the word is subordinated. He was subordinated to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart, all right? He listened to them, no option of himself. Jesus submitted to mama at that particular moment. He honored his mother. As a man, he honored his mother. And no wonder the next verse said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in his stature and in favor before God and before men. He was blessed because he took the decision, I will honor my mother, and he gave us the perfect example of obedience. If you move to John 19, you find now Jesus is 33 years old. That he lost that character with mama, that he lost that flavor of obedience. You know, there is nothing better than to see a child obeying the parents. It's amazing. Sometimes when I go shopping with Raquel, I'm watching people and taking notes of what I see. And I saw one time only, I saw in Nob Hill, and mama said, I told you this is bad for you. Okay, mom, said the child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and he put it back, and I want to have a heart attack. A child obeying his mother at this age, wow, it's just amazing. Now in John 19, verse 26 and 27, Jesus is on the crucifixion, mama is over there, and look at what he does. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. That's John. And then look at what he did. He said to John, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. That's why you never have a book written by John until the year 95, 96, 98. John lived a long life, and he wrote his books, all his books, after he took care of his mama. There is no book on the first century about John. The books were in the second century, and that's why in the 447 years when the Bible needed to be put together, there were arguments, this book real or wrong, because they were not written in the first century. But it's amazing how these examples, so there is a respect that is demanded. Young people, there is a respect demanding you honor your father and mother, period. And never tell me that they are wrong. They maybe are, but I don't want to know. Why? Because these honor God. Psychology maybe say, oh no, you have the right. I have been involved in 33 years of pastor. I've been involved. One time I got called from the restaurant is in Dan Avenue, chain names. And I got called and said, please, pastor, will you come here? So I went to the restaurant, and here's the police. The father was telling the son, don't eat in this way. The son said, I eat in the way I want it. 4 years old, spanked the face. Somebody got the phone, called the police. The father spanked the boy. And boy, I had to work out. The father would maybe go to be inquired in court. I had to work around with a policeman to see what I can do. Then finally, as a doctor, I can take care of the family and assign some papers. But because the father was demanding that the son eat the way they want to, I tell you. Is something. So there is a respect that is demanded. So young people, will you never come to me for counseling and tell me my mama is wrong? I will not accept it. You just tell God, not me. If you have courage to say to God that. All right? Now, there is a respect demanded, okay? Now, you know, you don't need a psychologist to understand your parents. You need obedience. Respect. And a desire to honor. They give you life. You see Aylan here, so little one? She already liked me. All right. I tell you, when I see a baby like that, it's just amazing. Some of you young people were like that when I saw you in the hospital. And now you are here. so beautiful. All right? Now, there is a respect that is deserved. All right? Okay? Now, parents, I want to talk to you. By our faithfulness, parents need to remember that children will respect a life that is lived faithfully. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:2. 1 Corinthians 4:2. I'm going to say it again. Parents need to remember that children will respect a life that is lived faithfully. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, we read, moreover, it is required in its stewards that one be found, what? Faithful. Now, I know it's a hard word for all of us men to be a good father. You're a hard worker, and sometimes your work takes you away from the family life. Or sometimes your work have invaded your brain so much that you come home still with something that happened in the work, and the family life is difficult. Or sometimes something difficult happened in the home, when my granddaughter had that crisis, I cannot operate. And I put my head on the table, asking God to give me stability. And God did. I understand that. But let's be faithful to God. God's going to honor that. All right? There is a respect that is deserved, and that's by our faithfulness and by our fairness. Look, remember Proverbs 22:6? If you don't remember, you can look on it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Now, there is a respect that is deserved by our fairness. You cannot tell a child, do that. You got to do something else. Look at what the Bible said. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, train up a child. Training is more than telling, do this. It's showing that. I grew up in the most blessed home, poor, simple, but grandma was the teacher. And we went early in the morning to the yard. And I tried to do shortcuts. She said, okay, this plant, you need to do this with the shovel and this and this. And I just with the foot. Oh, she said, you did it wrong. No, no, I did. No, you don't use the shovel. Say, yes, puff, puff, in the face. Then they said, okay, I did it. Come back to reality. And she said, this is the way you do it. And grandma, old as she was, she went in and she did it and showed me, now you do it. And I was doing, no, you got the shovel in this way. You had to put it in this way. Look at how I do it. Now, we don't have time for that today. We still have 24 hours like my grandmother, but we don't have time today to spend time with our children. If you want to do something good in your life, train up your children. I love when I see in the Facebook parents with children and bike. They're teaching them how to run in the bike. The experience is a sport, but it's more than a sport. The child is watching the father. And I saw one, I looked for that, blew up the pictures, and I trying to see the head of this one, the head, what they look, what they do, and try to psychologically analyze what happened. And I see children looking where the father is. I saw a picture of somebody looking back. The father must be back, I said. It's just so beautiful. Train up your children. Don't be afraid to train it. Mama, don't be afraid to do whatever you like them to do. All right? Do that. It's just fantastic. Fire furnace. And then this one is heavy. Parents, this one is the top. There is a respect that is deserved by fruitfulness. Please look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. I learned that and I practiced that. I can say I'm clean before the Lord on this one. I have maybe 150,000 problems, but this one I did it right. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Paul is arguing with the church about some issues, and then look at what he says. 2 Corinthians 12:14. For now, for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. Now here's the principle. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for their children. You take care of your children financially. You take care of your children in giving a home to stay. That is our responsibility as parents. All right? That's why I'm concerned. And I'm asking students, so I go to college. Do you have all the money? I know some of the parents maybe do not have. And I said, do you have these? I'm concerned that we care for them, because if we care for them, they will remember that. They will remember, not to spoil them, but to care, to provide. It is an honor. So here is, there is a respect that is deserved here in the scripture. I need to be the provider. I need to sit down with my parents and lay the plans together. The miracle that happened in our family with Emma surpassed sometimes my equilibrium, and I cry in the morning. But she laid down her life open in a table. And Mama and Papa from both sides were listening. And Grandpa and Grandma were listening. And we were able to say, all right, I have this for you. If you do ABC, here it is. If you do ACD, here it is. And we were able to put things together in a way that when she received the diploma, I almost have a heart attack. To see and then when the whole thing was over, and the president of the university came in and said, for the first time, and maybe in 6 or 7 or 8 years, we sometimes have any students, and Jacqueline was touching me, and I don't know what, I was listening, that excels in all her abilities and her performance. And so we give this honor to these students and crowns and papers and on. And I look on it, I want to go and have dinner, and suddenly Emma Alarcón was named. I fled over the chair. So I told you, Daddy, I told you, it was Jacqueline. I think the reward is big. Don't measure your efforts I did this and doesn't happen. Don't just keep on doing, because God is going to reward us. We are the children of God as parents, and God is going to give us the best of the best. Don't be afraid to provide, be intelligent, be knowledgeable, speak to them, lay down the plans and put things together, but trust God, He is going to turn around to your glory, and you're going to be the most happy man ever. So there is a respect that is deserved. Finally, in this commandment, there is a reward promise. In the book, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 3, after we children obey our parents, there is a reward. Ephesians 6:3. That I may be well with you, that it may be well with you, and you may live a long life on the earth. There is a reward for those children who relate to their parents in that fashion. The eye, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Amazing. I don't want to mention people, but my neighbor is here across the street, and I have a window that I can look for 3 houses, and so people go to work, and see if I'm there, I look on it, somebody trying to go into the neighborhood. I was able to catch one time. But my neighbor has a mama from Holland that they cook those cookies for Thanksgiving. Oh man, so good. But she dedicated her life, I don't want to put people on the spot, but she dedicated her life to Mama. And Mama lived a long life. Her Alzheimer at the end was disgraceful in the sense of such a wonderful lady with that sickness. But I watched on her. And she gave us all in the neighborhood the example of somebody who's dedicated to Mama. It's just beautiful. And God prolongs your life. And in spite of your pains and this and the other, God gives you life. If so, you have a good life. Yeah, I have pain here and pain here and pain here, but who cares? I just move, all right? I move. And I don't want to let the pain control me. It's just amazing. That it may be well with you and you may live a long life on earth. Now, the second thing this commandment said, not only that your life will be lengthened, but our days will be lightened. Look at what they said in verse 3, that it may be well with you. Woo-hoo! Well with you. The Bible said, if you obey me, even when you have pain and not so strong that you can handle, I will give you things that will be lightened compared to what you really will deserve. It's just amazing what God said. You know, we read it and we pass it, and I like to practice this. People say, oh, you like it. No, don't worry about it. I have pain. Yesterday I worked hard. You know, they're doing the construction downstairs, and I worked hard as can be. And where at the end of the day, pain's all over. But I know my exercises, all right? I do my exercise, I run again. I went and run and move, you know, but I'm happy. That it may be well with you. You know, sometimes we are not well because there are other things we do in life that disturb us. When we disobey God, we should be very concerned about it. Then there is a warning, a big warning. I'm scared. It's in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 30, in verse 17. A big warning for all our children and young people. A big warning here in the Bible. Careful with your parents. Look at the big warning. Proverbs 30, in verse 17, the eyes that mock his father and scorns disobedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it up and the young eagles will eat it. In other words, God will abandon you. You see it? The eye that mock his father and scorn obedience to his mother, forget about God. If you're a child of God and you live with your parents and you really mock your father, and when your mother talk to you, you care less about your mother, I feel so sorry for you, because God, you can pray day and night and the prayers will go to the ceiling and back. This is how serious is a Christian life. You think it's just coming to church, listen to God and do this. No, the family is the center of God. The family has been attacked by Satan, because he knows if he attacks the family, he destroys the country. And so the Bible is putting these together so that God is telling you the success of a family. And remember how Israel is started. Jacob, all right, 12 children, and the 12 children move on and on and on and on and on. All right? And so everything is start in a family in the Bible. The nucleus of success is the family. Let us not destroy it ourselves. What happened to America? The family is gone. Now it's questionable. Maybe one day I'm in jail because I'm saying it's wrong to marry a man with a man, it's wrong to marry a woman with a woman. But you know, that's what the Bible says. So what times are ahead for us, I thought. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, tell us the whole story. Tell us so clear what is ahead of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 2. The Bible gives us a panorama of the psychological makeup of the days when Jesus said, I have enough, and he will return. Look at what the Bible says. For men, mankind, will be lovers of themselves. If you are married to a man who loves himself, I feel sorry for you. It's the worst thing that happened in life when a man loves himself. It's just like a baby. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Careful, America. You know, that's the only thing I see people watching the Wall Street Journal, the money, the heart goes over there. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here it is. Disobedience to parents. People ask me, why today children do not obey their parents? It is nothing to do with psychology. It has to do with the times in which we live. As closer we come to the coming of the Lord, people will disregard the rules of God. And that's what happened. Unthankful, unholy, always learning and never able to come to knowledge. You know, that's so truthful. I keep counseling the people, counseling, and they do the same thing, and the same thing, and I'm tired. Because when my coach told me, don't jump to the left with the right hand on the top, I had to do it. The second time I did it, I don't play anymore. And that money goes away. So listen carefully. This book is not to play around. It's not where I like this and I don't like the other. This is a book that God wrote so that you and I go well. And here is the first commandment in relationship with one another. And what the commandment said, children, honor your parents. Oh, you don't know, they are short, they are tall, they speak too much, they don't speak. Don't worry about what they are. You just honor your parents, say God. I take care of you. You know, I want God to take care of me. And so I did honor my parents. And when my father passed away, I was living in a communist country. So they took away the resources my father had because we don't have the paperwork done right. And my mother almost was found on the street. And who my cousins called? Say, Gabriel, it is your time to set up your mother well. And we have a plan here. And I talked to my wife. I cannot do it unless my wife tell me. And we put the plan, and half of my income was set to my mother for 7 years until God took it up. But I'm glad I did. It was my mother, my Italian hen mother, who taught me how to fear God. Young people, love your parents. You will do a great favor to yourself. Thank you, Father. Thank you for who you are. You are such a mighty God. You put little things in the Bible that look simple, but they are not simple. Lord, overcome us, overrule us, and make us willing to obey and to honor you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.